Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Tonight's episode will focus heavily on the NBA and what is in the future since the NBA Finals ended about a month ago. Today, we'll focus on the up-and-coming news within certain teams and players. I'm excited to get started, so let's get right into it. First, we're going to begin with 11 questions about the NBA title picture. Who will chase rings with LeBron James, the Lakers? Will the Bucks make any moves? The landscape in the league will look different in a month or so. A quick turnaround is far from the only challenge the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers face when the 2020 through 2021 NBA season starts. Next season's title race figures to be more wide open than the last one, with the Brooklyn Nets and the Golden State Warriors eager to crash the party. With the draft, free agency, and a potentially wild trade season approaching, here are 11 questions that will shape how we see the title picture. Number 1. How does Milwaukee see itself? Let's assume Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't simplify everything and sign the Supermax before the season starts. What do the Bucks think they need to do in order to avoid a third straight playoff letdown? Do they attribute their second round exit primarily to external factors, i.e. the bubble or bad luck, or internal ones, holes on the roster and strategy? Do they still think that their conference finals loss in 2018 was mostly due to shooting variance? If they could redo last year's offseason, what would they do differently? Milwaukee has been so dominant in the regular season that it can't be that far away from a championship. Teams like this, though, can be hesitant to make major moves for far in fear of the downside. It is risky to mess with chemistry, and if things go wrong, the front office will look foolish for having fixed something that wasn't broken. With the burden of the back-to-back MVP's future potentially at stake, there is even more risk here. Whatever the front office does next will tell us a lot. Number 2. Will the Warriors' post-Durant plan pay off? Rather than losing Kevin Durant for nothing last summer, Golden State chose to pursue a double sign-and-trade for D'Angelo Russell. It flipped Russell for Andrew Wiggins a few months later and picked up the Minnesota Timberwolves' 2021 first-round pick for its trouble and is now ready to get back into the mix. If Bob Myers' front office plays this right, the gap year will look brilliant. Thanks to Steph Curry's broken hand and Klay Thompson's torn ACL, the Warriors have the number 2 pick in this year's draft. They still have the $17.2 million exception from the Andre Iguodala trade, too, and they presumably come to some conclusions about which of their younger players might be playable deep in the playoffs. If a legitimate superstar were definitely available, there would be no debate about whether or not to trade the second pick. It's easy to say they should move Wiggins with one or both high-value picks rather than hoping he can fit in, and it's possible that this is their path to making other contenders fear them again. More likely, though, Myers will be looking at a bunch of imperfect options and trying to choose the one that gives Curry, Thompson, and Draymond Green the best chance to get back where they've been before. Number 3. How will the Clips handle this pressure? Years from now, I'll still be dumbfounded by the way the Los Angeles Clippers went out in the bubble. Of the elite teams, this was supposed to be the most versatile one, the one that could always fall back on its defense, the one with the stars that could generate good looks against anybody, the one that should be able to thrive under playoff pressure. Yeah, that didn't happen this year. Off-season pressure is a completely different thing, but the Clippers need to rise to the occasion this time. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are only signed through the end of this coming season, and the consequence of trading a zillion picks to bring them to Los Angeles is that the front office doesn't have a ton of extra stuff to make deals work. Leonard is right that the Clippers need more basketball IQ. Specifically, they could use better passing. Maybe that means a new starting point guard. Maybe it means acquiring a reserve who makes quick reads running pick and roll. Montrezl Harrell might still be worth more to the Clippers than he is in a sign and trade. And the same could be true of Marcus Morris. It's unclear how concerned the front office is about Lou Williams getting hunted defensively and how confident it is in Landry Shamet being a reliable weapon when it matters most. It's hard to imagine, though, that the supporting cast will be exactly the same as it was. Number 4. What kind of team does Brooklyn want to be? As long as they can avoid an outrageous bidding war, the Nets should re-sign free agent Joe Harris for all the obvious reasons. There is a case that they should hold on to the rest of the Atkinson-era holdovers, too. Spencer Dinwiddie is a way better passer than people think, and maybe Steve Nash can talk Caris LeVert into playing the Manu role. Jared Allen was briefly demoted before the hiatus, but he sure played some beautiful bubble ball. Since Kyrie Irving missed so much of last season, Brooklyn doesn't have much film of its guards working together. Even if it did, Durant changes everything, and the Nets might simply prefer to find a third proven star rather than having overqualified fourth and fifth options. How much playmaking do you need when you have Irving and Durant on the roster? How much does the upside of LeVert and Allen matter if they can bring back a player who raises the team's ceiling immediately? These broader questions are just as important as, say, how much LeVert can develop as a spot-up shooter. Number 5. Who wants to chase rings with LeBron? Now the champs must get greedy. They'll aim high if they can use their full mid-level exception, and they'll probably find a helpful role player or two willing to take the minimum. Playing with LeBron James doesn't guarantee you a ring, but recent history suggests you'll at least have a decent shot. The Lakers will be looking for playmaking guards, especially if Rajon Rondo doesn't return. They could use some more shooting too, and they might have a totally different center rotation next season. There's nothing wrong with bringing back a team with a similar profile to the one that just went 16-5 in the playoffs, but adding firepower would be better. Number 6. Could Miami make its move early? Everybody knows the Heat want to preserve their financial flexibility, but according to Pat Riley himself, they're open to jumping on an opportunity now if it can really take them to another level talent-wise. If the next thing prevents itself and helps us move the needle up, then you know us, Riley said recently. We'll pull the trigger. The finals run makes Miami an even more appealing destination than it already was. But what would it take for the front office to cut into its 2021 cap room? What constitutes moving the needle? Whatever the answer is, it doesn't seem likely that the Heat will pull it off, but getting Jimmy Butler without cap space didn't seem all that likely either. Number 7. Will Morey come out swinging? Daryl Morey is in charge of the Sixers now, so the front office is no longer tied to the moves it made in summer of 2019. It's no longer necessarily invested in making the Ben Simmons-Joel Embiid partnership work either. But Morey's history of bold moves doesn't mean he's going to split the stars up immediately, barring an extraordinary trade opportunity. His job is to maximize Simmons and Embiid. The Houston Rockets were extremely intentional in targeting role players who complemented James Harden, and they never would have acquired the superstar in the first place without a series of moves on the margins. Morey isn't afraid to swing big when he thinks his team has a legitimate shot at a title. In Philadelphia, though, it might be more practical to start small. Let's take a quick break before we are back with more of the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
For some of you, a mask could be a fashion statement. For all of you, a mask should be something that saves lives. Don't think, just mask up, and you'll potentially save someone's life. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio in the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. And we're back with more talk about the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Let's get back to number 8 on what the NBA title looks like in the future, starting with what's Denver up to? The Nuggets have their own free agents, Jerami Grant, Paul Millsap, Mason Plumlee, and Torrey Craig to deal with. And then there are extensions. Monte Morris and Will Barton are both eligible, and trades to consider. Denver would surely love to build on its encouraging playoffs by improving on the wing. Number 9. Is something happening with Hayward? The safe bet is that Gordon Hayward will pick up his $34.2 million player option and stay with the Boston Celtics. So I won't go too deep here. But if he wants a long-term deal, a fresh start, or a bigger role, he has options. And unless he and one of the cap space teams, Atlanta, New York, Charlotte, Detroit, possibly Miami, have mutual interests, he would have to work with the Celtics on a trade or a sign-and-trade. And number 10, does Toronto have anything up its sleeve? Much like Miami, the expectation is that the Raptors' top priority is to keep themselves in the Antetokounmpo game. Ideally, though, they do that without taking a step back next season. This will be tough with Fred VanVleet, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, and Chris Boucher hitting free agency simultaneously. I wonder, though, whether they might temporarily compromise their cap space in certain situations, provided that it would increase their title chances and they're confident they could move contracts next summer if necessary. Number 11 and final thought, what is Harden thinking? Harden has a new GM and a new coach, but we don't know what else is going on to be different in Houston. I'd love to know his honest thoughts on what changes, if any, need to be made to the Rockets' offense under Stephen Silas, whether or not the front office needs to add a lob-catching center, or which low-cost free agents he'd most likely to recruit. The most important question, though, how committed is he to sticking it out with this Houston organization? Morey is the one who traded for him when he was a sixth man and let him run the show. The roster is aging, and the Rockets don't have unlimited chances to get this right. The next topic we're going to talk about is the 76ers offseason preview. A Chris Paul reunion with Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers is too obvious to ignore. Philadelphia should do everything in its power to give Doc Rivers his old point guard back. The premise of this entire series of offseason previews is based on identifying each team's plan. While there are often more interesting questions about what a team should do, any cognate offseason predictions are based on figuring out what a team actually wants to do and whether or not those plans are actually achievable. Philadelphia was always going to be especially difficult in that respect. Do the 76ers really look like a team with a plan? Nothing about their move since drafting Ben Simmons suggests that they have one. In the past 4 seasons, the organization has undergone at least 5 directional shifts that can and should be categorized as overhauls. In June 2017, they traded up to number 1 in the NBA draft to take Markelle Fultz, ostensibly replacing Ben Simmons as the team's primary offensive creator before he played a single game. In May of 2018, The Ringer published a story that led to the resignation of Brian Colangelo as general manager. Colangelo had already replaced the disposed Sam Hinkie. Elton Brand was elevated to general manager. In November of 2018, the 76ers traded for Jimmy Butler, an all-star, but a pending free agent. In less than a month earlier, the 76ers had committed to starting Fultz and letting him work through his shooting issues. Butler, another non-shooter, forced Fultz onto the bench. the former number one overall pick, was dealt at the trade deadline. In February of 2019, the 76ers traded for yet another pending free agent, Tobias Harris, signaling disappointment in the Butler experiment. Sure enough, Butler departed in July. And in July of 2019, the 76ers swapped out Butler and J.J. Redick, their best three-point shooter, for Al Horford, another big man, and Josh Richardson, another ball handler. Simmons and Joel Embiid were the only two starters left from the beginning of the 2018 through 19 season. There has been nothing cohesive about what Philadelphia has done over the past four seasons. No move has correlated with any other, and has left the once asset-rich 76ers brittle, capped out and lacking trade chips. Simmons and Embiid are all that remain from this bout of organizational whiplash, but hope has emerged over the past month purely by chance. Few expected the Clippers to fire Doc Rivers, even after they lost to the Denver Nuggets. Fewer expected Daryl Morey to leave the Houston Rockets after a 2019 contract extension, and fewer still expected him to return to basketball so quickly after leaving the Rockets when all indications at the time suggested that he planned to take time off to spend with family and explore other interests. Yet, here we are, weeks away from the NBA draft, and the 76ers have upgraded from one of the NBA's worst coach-GM combinations to one of its best overnight. Say what you will about Rivers' recent postseason miscues, but he is now one of the only eight NBA head coaches with a championship ring. Morey doesn't have one, but he has always indisputably had a plan. The goal of this exercise will be figuring out what the plan will be in Philadelphia. The 76ers have seen their fortunes decline drastically over the past few seasons, but neither Rivers nor Morey would have taken these jobs if they believed their championship window had closed entirely. The 76ers will make a push to contend right away. Now we just have to figure out how they're going to do it. One note before beginning, we'll be using SpotTrack for player salaries and 2019 through 20 cap numbers for this exercise as a whole. That includes previously agreed upon numbers like the rookie scale and the minimum salary. A frozen cap is the likeliest outcome of negotiations between the league and the NBPA, but these numbers could theoretically change in either direction. Under the assumption that the 2019 through 2020 numbers will be used, these are the pertinent numbers for these projections. The 76ers have a salary cap of $109,140,000, a luxury tax of $132,627,000, a luxury tax apron of $138,928,000, and a salary floor of $98,226,000. The cap situation and overall finances. At this moment, the 76ers have the NBA's most expensive roster. With four empty roster spots left to fill, Philadelphia is around $18.6 million above the projected luxury tax line. That sets it up for a colossal tax payment of $40.5 million. Add four veterans' minimum deals to the equation, and that balloons even further, all the way up to $64.2 million. Money is going to be a concern here. Philadelphia will probably try to trim money on the margins. This is a team that tried to force pay cuts on its employees early in the pandemic, after all. But wholesale salary slashing probably isn't in the cards. For all this ownership group's flaws, it always has been willing to invest in winning. While coaching and front office hires are uncapped, it should be noted that the Morey Rivers duo is probably the most expensive in all of basketball. Both were among the highest paid people in their positions before joining the 76ers, and both had plenty of leverage in negotiating their new positions. Trade options. We'll start with the obvious. Will the notoriously aggressive Morey break up the Simmons and Embiid duo? The answer is probably not, at least for now. Little from Morey's history suggests that he's philosophically opposed to non-shooters or big men. He signed Dwight Howard to a max contract, after all. His strategy has always been focused on the accumulation of talent. Questionable fits like Ty Lawson and Carmelo Anthony were home run swings that didn't pan out. But it's not as though Morey stopped trying to make them. He offered 4 first-round picks for Butler, yet another non-shooter. He wants superstars. He has 2 in Embiid and Simmons. It shouldn't be viewed as overly likely that he breaks them out of principle before seeing them up close. Let's take another quick break before we're back with more on the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. Carbon emissions represent man's greatest controllable contribution to global warming. If you like to breathe crisp, healthful air, think about this. For every mile driven, 1 pound of carbon particulate matter is released into our atmosphere. Before you jump into your car, next time, ask yourself if you can make the trip on your bike instead. And keep it clean.
And we're back with more talk about the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. The next segment will focus on some questions about the NBA trade market. Will Bradley Beal, Chris Paul get dealt? Can the Celtics make a real upgrade? If there is going to be more star movement, it'll have to happen via trade. These are the storylines, players, and teams to watch. Last offseason saw Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and Mike Conley changed teams. This year's list figures to be much less exciting, thanks to an underwhelming free agent pool. But if there is going to be star movement, it will happen via trade. As the 2020 through 2021 season rapidly approaches, this is a look at the trade market in some question form. Number 1. Strike now or wait for the deadline? Everybody seems to believe that the Washington Wizards intend to keep Bradley Beal and field a competitive team next season. But the assumption is that he might be made available before the trade deadline. Victor Oladipo's name is in trade rumors now, but the Indiana Pacers might be better off starting the season with him and hoping that he increases his value. These are the same kind of decisions teams face in a normal offseason. But this offseason is not normal. The NBA wants opening night to be December 22nd. If that happens, then we should expect free agency to start about a month before that and training camp to start at the beginning of December. This means different things to different teams, as some haven't played competitive games since March. Others had a short stay in the bubble, and a few are still recuperating from playoff runs that ended in September and October. If the schedule is significantly compressed, there could be even less practice time than normal. With this weird calendar, maybe teams will be more inclined to make their big moves now, given that it will be more difficult than usual to integrate a player mid-season. Number 2. What can the Bucks do to keep Giannis happy? If Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't sign the Supermax extension this offseason, the Bucks' roster moves could effectively dictate whether or not he sticks around. This is a whatever-it-takes situation. Eric Bledsoe made all-defense this past season, but his $16.9 million contract would have to be involved in almost any meaningful trade. Milwaukee could use a switchable big and more shooters who can stay on the floor in the playoffs, and it clearly needs more playmaking. An upgrade at the point guard spot would make sense. Which brings us to number 3. Where will CP3 and OKC's other vets wind up? Chris Paul had such a stellar season with Oklahoma City Thunder that he could find himself on a contender again. Milwaukee makes sense in theory, but so do a bunch of other teams that are either already among the elite or think they would join the elite with Paul in the fold. Dennis Schroeder and Steven Adams won't get nearly as much attention, but they're worth thinking about. Schroeder could interest all the same teams that want Paul, And given that he's only 27 and much less expensive, some other ones too. Adams' $27.5 million price tag isn't too scary now that he's entering the last year of his contract. Number 4. What happens in Los Angeles? The defending champion Lakers need to come back even stronger because a bunch of their competitors will add reinforcements. One of those competitors is the Clippers, whose off-season picture is complicated. It's easy to say they could sign and trade Montrezl Harrell, but they would get enough. But would they get enough back to justify hard capping themselves? With all their draft pick debt, it will be challenging to turn their spare parts into a real difference maker. In a perfect world, they'd add a player or two to make plays for others and help them build a sturdier offensive system. The Lakers don't have a ton of flexibility, but they do have Kyle Kuzma, who is making $3.6 million in the final season of his rookie deal. If they tried to do something big, it would almost certainly have to involve Danny Green, who is also on an expiring contract and owed $15.4 million. Expect them to be linked to playmaking guards, just like they were before the trade deadline in February. Number 5. Who will actually pick first and second in the draft? The Minnesota Timberwolves and Golden State Warriors held the number 1 and number 2 picks, respectively, but nobody is convinced this will be the case on November 18th. This is partially because there is no consensus top player and partially because of the peculiar places these particular teams are in. Would Minnesota really pair LaMelo Ball with D'Angelo Russell in the backcourt? Would it add Anthony Edwards to a core that is extremely deficient on defense? Trading down makes sense, but the Wolves would need to be compensated with a player who complements Carl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell and is on a similar timeline. Golden State is even more interesting because it wants to be in the title hunt now. But this isn't just about a franchise weighing the possibility of drafting a player who could be a bridge towards its next era and trading the pick for a star that can increase its odds of winning a 2021 championship. If there are no real stars available, what would the Warriors consider a reasonable return? Number 6. Can anyone pry Beal away? Washington has been consistent about its plan to build around Bradley Beal and the returning John Wall, and presumably one of two things would have to happen for it to change gears. Beal tells the Wizards he wants out, a too-good-to-turn-down deal emerges. The first scenario feels unlikely, but no one anticipated that George would ask the Thunder to trade him to the Clippers so he could team up with Leonard last season. The second isn't necessarily more plausible, but I could easily throw out some hypothetical trades that Washington would have to consider. Which brings us to number 7, will Brooklyn consolidate? Caris LeVert's trade value has never been higher, thanks to an impressive bubble run as the Nets' number 1 option, a role he will never reprise as long as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are on the court with him. Jarrett Allen stretched his game in Orlando too, and he's eligible for a rookie scale extension. Spencer Dinwiddie is heading into what will likely be a contract year. He has a $12.3 million player option in 2021-22. Brooklyn could try to turn some combination of those players and future picks into a third star. Beal is always the name that gets mentioned first, and there have also been rumors about Drew Holiday. When you have Durant and Irving on your team, you're all in. Number 8. Is New Orleans willing to take a step back? The 30-year-old Holiday has a player option worth more than $27 million in 2021-22, which means New Orleans risking losing him for nothing if it keeps him around. J.J. Redick, 36, is heading into a contract year too, and there's a good argument that New Orleans should move them both, given that its cornerstones Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram are 20 and 23 years old, respectively. This might seem like the obvious strategy based on how poorly New Orleans played in the bubble and how things worked out when the previous regimen tried to build the playoff team around a young Anthony Davis. But I'm not sure Stan Van Gundy is the coach you hire if you're planning on punting next season. MVP David Griffin has repeatedly talked about wanting Williamson to play in meaningful games early in his career. It is possible to try and win games and develop talent at the same time, but choices like these illustrate why it is a hazardous path to walk. Number 9, will Denver find its missing piece? The Nuggets earned comparisons to the 2013 Warriors during the playoffs, and if that's an apt analogy, then they need to get their Andre Iguodala this summer. Maybe that is Holiday. Gary Harris's career arc is confusing, and I'm not sure what it means that Denver played so well without Will Barton in Orlando. I also wonder if Michael Porter Jr. is truly untouchable, given his injury history, particularly if someone of Beal's caliber were to become available. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are young enough that the Nuggets can justify being patient, but they're good enough to justify being aggressive. Let's take one more quick break before we're back with more on the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
For some of you, a mask could be a fashion statement. For all of you, a mask should be something that saves lives. Don't think, just mask up, and you'll potentially save someone's life. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. And we're back with more talk about the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. We're going back to the questions we were talking about before the break. So let's get back to it and start with what's happening in Indiana. The Pacers have been a respective, resilient, defensive-minded team since trading Paul George for Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis 3 years ago. But they're going to look different next season. This is a creative front office that signaled it wasn't satisfied with being a good regular season story when it replaced coach Nate McMillan with Nate Borjegren. And then the coaching change might be just the first of many moves that will define its next few years. Oladipo's name will be on any of the lists of players who could be traded. I would love to see the 2017 through 2018 version of him next to Malcolm Brogdon, but nobody knows if that guy is coming back. I'd also love to see Indiana finally split up Sabonis and fellow center Miles Turner. Trading a highly paid big for a wing of similar talent is not easy, and Indiana is famously averse to tanking. Let's see what Kevin Pritchard has up his sleeve. Next, can the Sixers sort themselves out? As I've talked about before, Philadelphia should hope that its stars are determined to bounce back from a frustrating season. It should be optimistic that Doc Rivers is the right coach to get the 76ers back on the same page. It's not absolutely not, however, count on that being enough. If we're assuming that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons aren't going anywhere, then the Sixers need to make the ecosystem around them healthier. Is Josh Richardson, who is effectively on an expiring contract worth about $11 million, still part of the plan? Anyone can point to the enormous contracts of Al Horford and Tobias Harris, but reasonable people can disagree about what to do with the ones that have positive trade value. Should Philadelphia try to dump Horford, try to dump Harris, go after Paul, go after Dinwiddie? Maybe you can package some combination of Mike Scott, Zaire Smith, and Furkan Korkmaz, and a future pick for a non-star who can reliably shoot, pass, dribble, and defend. One way or another, the Sixers need to find a better mix. Number 12, will Magic reject mediocrity? Next season will be Aaron Gordon's seventh with the Magic if they don't trade him. It will be Nikola Vucevic's ninth if he is still on the roster. There's not much short-term upside with Jonathan Isaac rehabilitating a torn ACL. And there might not be much appetite for bringing back yet another team that will likely be a first-round roadkill. The 29-year-old Terrence Ross should have a positive trade value because of his declining contract. Evan Fournier could be traded if he picks up his player option and signed and traded if he doesn't. Mo Bamba's name has come up in trade rumors, especially since he arrived in Orlando. All sorts of stuff should be on the table. Number 13. Can Boston make a real upgrade? Keep an eye on Gordon Hayward, whose $34 million out option puts him in an interesting spot. Should he return, Boston can still make trades on the margins. It has four 2020 draft picks, including three in the first round, and a bunch of prospects are already taking up roster spots. I assume the Celtics will be linked to just about any good center on the market. If they move Hayward, though, they'll need to replace his playmaking somehow. Number 14. Will the Gobert situation get weird? Rudy Gobert is eligible for a Supermax extension, and it's difficult to imagine the Utah Jazz offering it. If they can't agree on any type of extension, then the all-NBA center will be on an expiring contract. Small market teams don't typically let stars walk. In the summer of 2019, the Jazz made a series of win-now moves, headlined by the arrival of Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic. Results were mixed, and it's difficult to judge them too harshly for blowing a 3-1 lead in the first round, considering Bogdanovic missed the entire bubble in Game 7, came down to a Conley heave that rimmed out. The most likely outcome is that Utah tweaks its formula and gives it another shot, but that could change if Gobert negotiations go sideways. Number 15. Are the Rockets really running this back? Like the Jazz, the Rockets can point to bad luck when accounting for the way their season ended. Russell Westbrook was clearly not himself, and Daniel House Jr. wasn't even with the team. In this case, though, there have already been consequences. General manager Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni are out. Owner Tillman Fertitta said that James Harden and Westbrook aren't going anywhere. And if that's the case, Houston isn't positioned well to change the supporting cast. The Westbrook trade cost the Rockets two first-round picks and two pick swaps, and aside from the 27-year-old House, they don't have young-ish players that other teams want. PJ Tucker, 35, is entering the final year of a team-friendly contract, but trading him would almost certainly mean getting worse. Eric Gordon turns 32 on Christmas and is coming off a rough injury-plagued season, so Houston might be better off hoping for a return to form than trying to shed his salary. I just wonder if Harden and Westbrook are on board for running it back. Number 16. What is Phoenix's timeline? In 2013-14, everybody thought the Phoenix Suns were tanking, but they unexpectedly won 48 games. Expectations rose, and a series of transactions meant to keep them on an upward trajectory. The Isaiah Thomas signing, the trade for Brandon Knight, the Tyson Chandler signing failed. These Suns have more young talent than iteration, particularly if you believe DeAndre Ayton is on his way to stardom. But they are in a similar situation, right down to them missing the postseason by the smallest of margins. Will the front office try to accelerate their progress or give this group room to breathe? If the front office is comfortable going forward with Mikal Bridges and Cameron Johnson as starters, like they were doing during the undefeated bubble run, then Kelly Oubre's $14.4 million expiring contract could be a trade chip. Ricky Rubio is owed $17 million next season and $17.8 million the year after that. And at 30 years old, he might not be on the Suns' timeline, unless they plan to move Oubre and spare parts for another vet. Is San Antonio at its pivot point? The Spurs have been awkwardly in between eras for a while, and the restart gave us a glimpse of the future. Perhaps it's finally time to make the transition. This would mean trading DeMar DeRozan or LaMarcus Aldridge, or both of them. The problem, as always, is their salaries. DeRozan has a $27.7 million player option, and Aldridge has a $24 million expiring contract. Patty Mills and Rudy Gay aren't big names, but logistically, it would be easier to trade them, since they're on a $13.5 million and $14.5 million expiring deals, respectively. Aldridge's mid-season transformation to a true stretch five makes him an intriguing fit on a contender, even at 35 years old. DeRozan is coming off the most efficient season of his career, despite being allergic to threes again. The question is how motivated the front office is to move on, given that San Antonio won't get all that much in return. Last but not least, Kings and Bulls have new GMs. Now what? The Kings and Bulls both have new people in charge after falling short of expectations. In Sacramento, Buddy Hield reportedly isn't returning Luke Walton's phone calls, and it would be something of a surprise if both he and Bogdan Bogdanović remain teammates. Bogdanović is a restricted free agent, though, and if he's too pricey, can Monte McNair find a sensible sign and trade? There is a case to be made that the Bulls should treat next season as a do-over with Billy Donovan in place of Jim Boylan. There is also an argument that Arturas Karsanovas front office should be the team's most productive player. Zach LaVine remains wildly divisive, and he's eligible for an extension. If he doesn't get one, he'll be a popular trade candidate, even though his contract doesn't expire until 2022. And that's all we have for on today's show. Be back for more next week on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.